You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. We continue here, busy show. We'll talk about Mississippi State's big game against LSU a little bit later on. Griff will join us for his weekly segment. Kenny Chesney in 2 hours. More of your phone calls right now. And Mike is up next in Georgia. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing today, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hope you're having a blessed day.
Thanks so much.
I am probably the biggest Alabama fan in the state of Georgia. Bigger than some of the Alabama people. But in that game the other day, I've heard so much about how Alabama's not this and that anymore. I'd like to see if you think about the same thing I kind of do. It kind of reminds me of the Miami game. That first quarter, they come out and they could do no wrong. And it just seems like when they get that big lead, they kind of lose some intensity. And they're not playing with the intensity. Even Saban even mentioned that the other day after the game. And they got to keep, especially when they play Ole Miss, if they don't keep intensity up, they're going to get beat.
Well, they do a couple of things. I think you're right about the intensity. They are penalty prone, which can really hurt you badly. And I think the Florida game was a little bit different. I think the intensity in the Miami game was clearly a case of the game was over. I don't think anyone on that sideline thought the Florida game was over, because they were on the road in a hostile environment, but they just started making some mistakes, and that isn't unusual, but it's a game killer for momentum, and Alabama had a hard time finding it back.
Yeah, but when they needed to stand up, they stood up at that goal line stand. That's one thing I said. They come through when they had to, but to me, and I think, two, on the offensive side of the ball, I think they got a terrific offense. I just wish, though, Bryce would sometimes maybe run the ball for a first down and get out of bounds instead of trying to force a pass sometimes, it seems like. Because I think he's only run, two times this year? And he got a first down, I think, both times.
Yeah, no, I've heard that. I've heard that mentioned. Hey, thank you very, very much. Tom is up next. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Tom?
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Tom, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Who do you think is Alabama's best lineman? Would it be John Hanna?
All time, yes.
I know Billy Nevers wasn't a lineman, but he was a good player, too.
He was an All-American.
And he had two boards to play for Alabama. One of them's got a talk show here in Huntsville.
Right.
So that's not too bad of a job.
No, Billy was Billy left his mark. I know the whole family, and they've left quite a legacy to Alabama football. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call. Let's continue and check in with Rick, who is in Tennessee.
What I do?
Hey, Rick.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Hi there.
Hey. I'm sorry. My grandson was talking to me.
That's okay.
How you doing?
I am doing great. Well, how old's your grandson?
Six.
Okay.
Plays flag football.
That's a good age.
Yes, it is. Paul. done forgot what I was going to talk to you about.
Let's talk about...
Everybody's been talking.
Hey, whatever, let me think. Football. How about football?
Well, God be with Tennessee this weekend at Florida, right?
Right, exactly.
Alabama and Florida last, you know, that was a great game. I guess Alabama fans, I guess, could say, you know, some will say, ah, it's just an aberration, we'll be back. Others will say, oh my gosh, this is the end of it. But who knows at this point? A&M, they look good. I'm looking forward to watching them play against Arkansas. Big Ten's overrated. I kind of thought Auburn would beat Penn State, and I know they didn't, but they hung in there, which I expected. So that's good for Auburn fans. I'm sure they're kind of disappointed they lost, but it was good for them that they hung in there like they did. I've only been to Columbia, South Carolina. I heard a lot of people talking about Columbia, and you're going to be there this weekend. I've only been there once in my life. That was back when I was in the Army. I went to Fort Jackson for basic training.
How long were you in the service?
8 years.
Wow.
I got out after the Gulf War.
You had quite a tour of duty.
Yeah, my wife, after the Gulf War, I had two kids and one on the way, and my wife said, it's time for you to get out. You know, I don't need you dead somewhere with all these kids. So
that was pretty smart.
My enlistment ran up, I got out.
So do you think she said that just because she wanted you back, or she just didn't want to have to take care of the kids without you?
Probably just didn't want to take care of the kids without me.
That would be my gut feeling, too.
As long as we have
your pension and your benefits, you can stay wherever you are.
Right. We've been around. We know how the world works.
Sure. Oh yeah. I come in some days from work, and I don't know why my wife is like studying my life insurance policy. That makes me nervous. you want her to say hello, but she's like, I thought we got more in case of accidental death.
Yeah. You know, watch those old movies. They have the shoes and the drink. I've never had that.
I
come in and guess what? Your kid's dead.
Yeah, I mean,
oh my gosh!
Quit packing my stuff up yet, okay? Give me a chance to croak. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Whatever your call was about. Doug is on. just trying to help him along. Doug is in Florida. Hello, Doug.
Hello.
Hey, Doug.
How you doing, Paul?
Doug, we're doing great.
I got a quick question for you here.
Sure.
Hope you have a helmet to put a sticker on, because I don't know if this has been asked before.
I hope not.
But if Florida ends up winning the rest of their games this year and beat Alabama in the SEC championship, and we end up going to the playoffs and Alabama ends up being in the playoffs, would this be the first time that a team's actually played another team three times in 1 year? And that's all. And I'll let you go, Paul, and I'm going to listen. Thank you.
We've obviously had two meetings before. We saw that last year. In fact, we saw it a couple of years ago with Alabama and LSU in the regular season and the championship. We've seen it other times as well. But I don't think we've ever had three meetings. But I'm wide open for somebody to correct me on that, because I don't know. Kyle is in Georgia. Kyle, thank you. Good afternoon.
Oh. First-time caller, War Eagle to you.
War Eagle.
Hey, I've got a question about Tennessee.
Sure.
I read an article today that Tennessee dropped Army off the 22 schedule and picked up Akron.
That is correct.
And the article said that Tennessee was too scared to play Army. But I find it hard to believe. I figure Akron is the cheaper opponent, seeing how Tennessee is paying out all that money to Heupel and Pruitt. What do you think?
Well, all I know about is all that is what I heard from John Adams yesterday. He covers the team in the local media for the Knoxville paper, And he gave the impression that they wanted to buy a win, and they thought Army could beat them, and they didn't. The money's not the issue. I mean, you're still paying about the same amount of money to Akron as you would to Army. And ultimately, I think the athletic director there is trying to make sure that his investment in Josh Heupel is propped up a little bit by getting him an extra win that he might not have had.
All right, that's kind of disappointing for Tennessee.
Yeah, I found it pretty disappointing, too. I mean, maybe if they'd canceled the game with Rutgers, I wouldn't have cared. But there's just something about Army that that touched a nerve because of so many people who, win or lose, you would like to see the Academy teams play in your home stadium. It's a great scene and event and for everyone. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. But I don't know what the thinking is of the new athletic director in Knoxville. He has yet to consult me on any of his important decisions. We will take a break. More to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We'll continue with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. But we are about to start the guest list, and it is a good one today. I mentioned Kenny Chesney will be joining us in about an hour and 45 minutes. We also have Mike Griffith right now. Tanner Marler joining us to talk about who else but the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Tanner, first of all, it's good to see you again. We had a great time, I don't know, about 6 or 8 weeks ago when you dropped by. And so what's going on there?
Busy, you know, getting ready to ramp up SEC play here. This is our favorite time of year.
So let's before we get to LSU, and I know what a big weekend it is. What's been the reaction and the takeaway from the Memphis loss, which was certainly controversial? And I'm being gentle and very kind to the officials on that one.
Well, you know, here in Starkville, it's obviously been a lot of mixed emotions, and in my opinion on it is, of course, you can never put the game in the hands of the referees like that. But when it does fall on those referees, you never want to be playing more than 11 guys. And that's exactly what Mississippi State ended up having to do last weekend, and we just came out of the wrong end of it.
So what's the mindset going into LSU, another team that, quite frankly, is as difficult to put your arms around as any team in the country?
You know, like Leach said in press conference against Memphis, you just got to improve. The big thing coming into this week is, are Will Rogers and his offense going to be able to push the ball down the field? Are they going to be able to get big chunks? Because that's the big question mark now. We've seen that, of course, Rogers is doing great in terms of completions, yardage, but and on those deep ball attempts, and when Rodgers does go deep, it works. We just haven't seen it enough. So that's of course, what we're looking for coming into this week.
Tanner, through 3 weeks, I mean, you cover the team. I mean, it was a near miss in the first game, decent outing in the next one, and then what happened, well, a really good outing, I guess, against NC State, and then this game. How do fans feel getting ready for this 11 a.m. kickoff?
No one's excited about the 11 a.m. part, that's for sure. But
I don't blame you.
But in terms of the emotions of the fan base towards the team, I've all year it's been mixed emotions. It's Mississippi State football always has been and always will be an emotional roller coaster. That's just how it is. But it's still mixed emotions because, like you said, you come off of a really great showing against NC State, where defense played very well. I mean, at one point in the fourth quarter, that game was 24-3. You let up a garbage time touchdown to make it 24-10. Then in the Memphis game, what happened happened. I mean, if you want to take a silver lining from that one, the defense only gave up 14 points to what was at that point the number one offense in the FBS. So there, it's still a lot of question marks, which is shocking to some after week three. You usually have a lot of things kind of figured out, but there's still so many question marks with this football team.
I never can quite figure out, and I don't mean this because he doesn't speak English, because he does, but I never can quite figure out what's going on with Mike Leach, because he is so wily, and you're around him more. You understand Leach speak. How is he responding to what's going on, and how does he affect the fan base?
A lot of the fan base are satisfied with it. A lot are dissatisfied with it. He's been around the game so long, and this is just my take on it. He's been around the game so long that you're probably not going to see these bursts of emotion that you would out of maybe a younger guy or somebody who hasn't, you know, dealt with this kind of thing before. So when he answers questions in press conferences with kind of like a nonchalant attitude, a lot of people in the fan base can kind of be put off by that. I think it's just who he is as a person, and I don't take it with more than a grain of salt. But it's mixed emotions to the fan base. I don't think people expected it coming in, but I think it's the reality they've come to know.
Not to ask an obvious question, but I will, because I'm the master of the obvious questions here. That's what I do. I just they hand me the notes. I ask them as they're written. So, Tanner, how would you describe this? What's at stake here Saturday between LSU and Mississippi State? I think I understand the LSU side of it, but I don't easily understand the Mississippi State side, win or lose, especially lose.
If we'll cover the win first. If you win, then you get to cross off some of those question marks like we talked about earlier, such as, you know, will the offense be able to score in the SEC play, which against LSU's defense, that's for a later conversation. But will the defense hold up in SEC play? You get to cross off some of those question marks. That's what a win means here, is that you know a lot more about your team. A loss here really could add more, or it could solve some, but I weigh on the side that a loss to LSU is just going to cause more questions than it is provide answers. It's really, you know, you expect it to be coming in 3-0, and the argument could be made you should be 3-0. So if you drop to 2-2, I don't know how much wind you have left in your sails going into next week. When you're going to A&M.
Yeah, that's the problem, and that's kind of where I was going, because the schedule really gets tough. Everyone knows what's ahead, and I'm curious just from what you are hearing. There's so many issues at LSU, and as we look at the schedule, here's the problem. A&M and Alabama in the next two games, even though there's a bye there, that. If LSU goes the wrong way, you're looking at
Four straight.
Yeah, I mean that's really not hard to do. But thank you, Mauro. I did not do well in anything above flashcards, addition and subtraction. It gets a little bit easier after that, but Kentucky is the crossover game. It's not the crossover game. That game is played every year, and then at Arkansas, Auburn, and Ole Miss, of course, at your place, but. It is still very, very difficult, and I think a lot of hope would go down the drain. What do you hear about LSU's health? Because they lost another player. It's always confusing trying to figure out what exactly what kind of team, the health of the team that Ed Orgeron is going to be bringing in there Saturday morning.
I don't know. I kind of lost your audio feed there for a second. I can't get you.
I think what you lost was a disjointed question. So let me ask you again. If you nod your head, if you're listening to me right now, okay. What's the health of this LSU team? Because we know what they've lost, and it seems like they've lost some key players. Okay. Here's the problem. I will say thanks to Tanner because he can't hear me. And you know what? I don't think he missed anything. I'll just ask myself the questions. Thanks, Tanner. Appreciate it. We had a good conversation with him, Mike Griffith. Now, that's a guy that you wouldn't mind if he couldn't hear your questions sometime, but he never misses one. He'll join us in the next hour. Guarantee you Kenny Chesney will hear us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, we're back. Great to have you with us. Great to be heard. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. Josh is in Dallas. So hello, Josh.
How are you doing?
Quite well.
I've got a bunch of different things, but I know I can't go over all of them because I'll take up too much of your time. But I noticed the dude earlier said something about Florida and Alabama playing three times. I find it offensive that he thinks Bama's just guaranteed to win the SEC West.
And equally concerning that he thinks Florida is going to win the SEC East. But you're right. Good point.
Yeah, no kidding. And my next thing would be, do you think Georgia has a higher tier level defense than A&M?
I'm not sure I can answer that yet. I think it's a pretty good battle, but only because I've seen them against Clemson where – all I've seen A&M play is Colorado. A little bit of difference in competition.
Yeah, and then going off that Colorado thing, after A&M struggled to get past Colorado because they threw Zach in after the second drive, still won the game, but were very poorly talked about because we didn't take care of them like everyone expected us to, and it felt like no one took into consideration that our backup quarterback went in.
Yeah, that game almost felt like a loss in some ways, like the Alabama-Florida game. That doesn't matter now. I think this is A&M's moment to be heard, and depending on how it handles Arkansas, assuming it wins, I think A&M comes back to the party. Right now, A&M is like in timeout. I think it's just the vagaries of a college football season that a school that we all had in the top four or five then bows out, and then usually it happens after a loss, very rarely after a win.
Mm-hmm. And so with the Arkansas A&M game coming up, if Zach Calzada were to play just like a good game, not even like great, just a good game, where he doesn't really have a turnover but can pass the ball well, do you think Arkansas will stand a chance at all if he has just a good game?
Yeah, I think Arkansas is a really gritty team, but there's a reason why Arkansas is the underdog in this game. And And I think, you know, not only is Arkansas battling talent on the field, I think they're battling the mentality of can they beat A&M? And that maybe is, it seems like they overcame that. But beating Texas and beating Texas A&M are two different things, as you well know.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, everyone, every year, and I was going to say this, every year Texas has a high ranking just because of their name. And they always find a way to let down their fan base. So.
Well, that was the old Texas. That's the Big 12 Texas. The SEC Texas will be totally different, of course.
Yes.
Let's talk to John in New York. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Big fan. Finally, great to be able to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
So I am a diehard Alabama fan, and my son, Alan, is a Florida fan. So we took a spontaneous trip to the Swamp to see the Alabama-Florida game. And was hoping to get a picture with you, but you were tooling around with Tebow on the golf cart.
Oh, my. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sorry I missed you. Yeah, Tebow and I was basically a prop. We were shooting something, you know, Tebow, you know, back on campus, being greeted by students. And they essentially told me, stay in the golf cart. We don't need you to do a single thing. So that's why I never got a chance to really talk to anybody.
Oh, that's all right. It was great. It was great to see you. Anyway, about the Alabama-Florida game, my take, being a diehard Alabama fan, Florida makes that extra point. They make that two-point conversion. At the end, Gator fans are going to be storming the field. That game was over. I totally agree with your take on the lack of intensity that Alabama had after they got that big lead in the first. And I know my son thought the game was over, and I didn't believe it. What do you see as far as the remaining schedule for Alabama? They're going to be their test. Do you think it's going to be A&M, or do you think we're going to go deeper and it could be a different team before the end of the season, before we go to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think objectively A&M is the most difficult game in the regular season. I know some will try to make Ole Miss more complex, but I just think the road factor is going to be a problem for Alabama, as it was in the Swamp. And I think you're talking about, as our previous caller, a very elite defense. I think the danger against Ole Miss is just is getting into a shootout and not being able to move the ball as well as they did last year. Lane Kiffin does have an innate ability to get inside, I think, Nick Saban's head. He did it last year. He did it while he was coaching for him.
But I
would rank the A&M game right now, and that is before the Arkansas game. I think the Arkansas game, psychologically, you know, should A&M lose, it very well could shatter their season. But assuming they win that game, I think all eyes are then going to be on College Station.
Absolutely. One last thing for you, Paul. Where do you see Arch Manning in 2023? Do you see him in Crimson White, or do you see him going somewhere else?
I am a terrible predictor of where high school kids go. Right now, I can tell you what the skinny is, that he really likes Steve Sarkisian. That's always been something that he's looked at. Obviously, Ole Miss is a factor. I think Clemson is on that list. Of course, Alabama is there, but you just don't know. I don't think Alabama is a cinch to get him by any means.
Interesting. All right. Thanks, Paul. Enjoy the show.
And I want to make it clear, I have no independent knowledge. It's not like Arch is calling me up. That's coming from people in the industry. And, you have to put Ole Miss on that list. There's no getting around a Manning going to Ole Miss. So I think it will be one of the most hyped things ever. By the way, Peyton and Eli's recruitment was pretty hyped as well. But that was then. That was not in the age that we are currently living in. How about Chris in California? You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
You're such a consummate professional. I really appreciate you handled the way you handled the end of the Tanner call. Just much props to you.
Thank you.
John kind of stole some of my thunder there in regard to Kiffin and Ole Miss coming to Tuscaloosa, and just my comments were, you know, obviously we have Southern Miss coming up, but what do you think, you know, Lane Kiffin having a week off and understanding the offensive mind along with what Mullen just did to our defense? So it sounds like you don't take that game very seriously.
Well, no, I do take it seriously, but I just think I was, in terms of ranking difficulty, I would rank the A&M game slightly more difficult. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I know because I talk to Lane often how intense he will be in preparation for this game. I don't think he ever stops working on this Alabama game because I do think while he has a healthy respect for Nick Saban, I think he also understands, you know, wherever there is a, you know, I don't want to use the word Saban's vulnerabilities because that's that's almost a non sequitur. but I think we found out last year how he can deal, how he understands what Saban does defensively. So I think the real question is, does Ole Miss have a defense that can stop Alabama?
Right. A couple other questions. Do you know whether Game Day or SEC Nation will be in Tuscaloosa for that game yet?
I know both are considering it. I've been somewhat out of that world. I mean, I know it's on everybody's list. It has to be, and there's really nothing going on this weekend that would affect it. I'm trying to remember. There are two big games. I think the Arkansas game is something that people are watching. What if Arkansas beats A&M? Then suddenly I think they take on Georgia next week. There are a bunch of really good games in the SEC next week. But somebody, one of those two will be there. I think I can't absolutely guarantee that.
Sure. Right. Last question. So, and I try to watch the show as much as I can. I haven't heard from Danny Sheridan or Tim Brando in a while. Or what's their status?
That's a good question. We have not, you know, we always try to have Danny on right before the season, and Tim usually gives us his top 10, but we somehow missed this year, which is unfortunate. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Don is up next in Florida. Hello, Don. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to put in a plug for the SEC Network's broadcast this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. For the radio guys.
Yeah, Than a Voice documentary. And in fact, we're going to talk to the executive producer, Kenny Chesney, in about an hour.
Well, that's awesome. And I'd like to just kind of relay to you and your listeners my personal experience with the radio guys.
Sure.
I'm a Gator fan, Gator alum, and we have the pleasure of listening to Hall of Fame broadcaster Mick Hubert.
Right.
And his color guy, Lee McGriff, and the sideline guy, Ty Casey. And the way I consume a Gator game is I start with the pregame show, which is pretty much 3 hours early. But I learn a lot of things that I don't learn from the TV guys. And that's not to say that's a bad thing on the TV guys, but they just don't have the time to focus on Florida. And whatever school you're a fan of, University X, Y, or Z, you can plug in your own names for these guys. But they bring the game to life for me. And the way I consume a Gator game is I tune in to the TV network that happens to broadcast the game, and I mute it, and I listen to my radio guys. And there's usually like a 2 to 7 second delay,
right,
from what I hear to what I see. And I love that because I can start cheering or
so yeah, on radio you will get it sooner. There is a delay on television, as anyone who's ever done what you do. You know, I agree, and I'm not here to critique the Saturday afternoon crew for CBS. although they did annoy me last week, something awful.
me too.
But everyone, and ultimately these guys change. Now Mick's been in Gainesville a long time, but you know we tend to just they become our friends. They help. You know, they're our company on the porch. Listening to the game back in the old days, they keep you company on a long, dark country road as you may be traveling, and they're legendary. And I think that's what this piece is going to detail for those who are perhaps younger and didn't grow up in more of a radio era. But you know, I've known a number of these guys, and one of my mentors was the Alabama broadcaster. And you know they are legendary. They're part of you know the soundtrack of our lives.
Yes, that, they are.
And it's hard to. You know, same way in other sports. If you're a baseball fan, you grew up listening to the Braves or the Yankees or the Cardinals, and it's the same way. But you know, television's changed a lot of that. But I'm glad to hear what you said because it is a lost art.
Well, thank you. And listen, it's, again, for fans of University X, Y, or Z, you can plug in your own names and you've got your own list of people that you listen to. But for me, as a Gator fan, it's my guys. And I truly enjoy listening to Mick bringing the game to life for me. He gets a little discombobulated sometimes with down distance,
but he's
got so many things to think about, so many statistics.
No, Don,
in front
and one more
him.
Thing on that, I think it's more difficult for these guys, and we've interviewed a lot of them in the past. Television makes it more complex because I know that there's a television monitor everywhere. It's not like these radio guys are watching the game without a monitor. Of course you have one, but I think it's better when you're just looking at the game and describing, okay, Florida moving from left to right to left, east to west, north to south. I mean, there's the great broadcasters, I think, paint a picture. I think it's important to have, you know, some command of the language. I've had broadcasters tell me that reading and studying literature is a big thing, but you have to be descriptive. You just can't, every play just can't be Emory Jones to the five. I mean, you have to be able to describe more than just the down and distance and the score.
Exactly, and Mick does a great job of that, and I'm sure that the play-by-play guys from the other schools do the same. And I'll tell you, every time it comes up the week for the Florida-Georgia game. They play, every network will play the radio call from the Georgia broadcaster from, I forget what
Larry
year it
Munson was.
Yeah. But to this day, that call just gripes me because he's bringing that game to life.
Well,
and
I didn't know Larry as well as a lot of people, but I did get to interview him. And what you hear from Larry Munson, that's who, I mean, he was a crotchety old guy who was always complaining about everything. I mean, I'll never forget the first time I interviewed him. I said, well, how is it different than it used to be? And he went on this tirade about, you know, we used to show up an hour before the game, and now we got to get here, you know, four blanking hours beforehand, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like thinking, this guy's got the greatest job in the world, and all he's doing is complaining about, how early he's got to get to the stadium. But that's who Larry was, and you could hear it when he did those epic games. And clearly the Georgia-Florida game, Lindsey Scott, that's the most famous call of his career, but you know, his Herschel calls were legendary, as you'll see on this, and he's not the only one. Hey, thanks so much. And there's just, you know, there's so many other great broadcasters too, and I haven't seen the piece, and I really look forward to talking to Kenny Chesney about it in about an hour. But I mean, even in basketball, I mean, Kaywood Ledford, who did Kentucky games, you know, it is arguably as famous a broadcaster as there has ever been. Jack Crystal, who did it Mississippi State. I mean, it, you know, it goes on and on and on. And every time we talk about this, we leave somebody out because, the names change. The guy that was doing the games in the 60s wasn't he may not have been doing them later, although I think Jack Crystal did games at Mississippi State for about 50 years. And beside that, some of these are characters, and just in Jack's case, just a genuinely wonderful man. We have to go to the break. Don't forget, Kenny Chesney, an hour from now. Mike Griffith coming up next.